Welcome to the Revital Health Podcast, where we explore the exciting intersection of modern science, ancestral wisdom, and personalized health optimization. I'm your host, Jodi DeVal, naturopath, integrative medicine expert, and founder of Revital Health Clinic in Perth, Western Australia. Each episode, we'll dive deep into cutting-edge therapies, groundbreaking research, and practical strategies to help you live your best life, having plenty of fun along the way. Whether you're keen to supercharge your energy, balance your hormones, or discover the latest biohacking trends, you've come to the right place. If you love what you hear, don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow so you never miss a moment with world-leading experts and game-changing insights. It's time to unlock your full health potential. Let's go! We acknowledge that the Revital Health Podcast is recorded on the unceded lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people of the Noongar Nation, Borloo. We recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture and pay our respects to Noongar elders past and present. Welcome back, and today I am joined by Dr. Clint Phillips, founder of Medici and a healthcare entrepreneur who is helping to rethink what medicine could look like when we move away from simply managing disease and start truly focusing on prevention, access, personalization, and health span. Clint's story is deeply personal. His early interest in health was shaped by watching family members struggle with illness and later by his daughter's life-altering health crisis, which exposed just how difficult it can be to access the right care at the right time. From his early work helping people avoid unnecessary back surgery to building Second MD, a company that connected patients with leading specialists, Clint saw the same pattern again and again. People were entering the healthcare system too late, often years of missed warning signs, fragmented care, or incomplete answers. Now, through Medici, Clint is focused on building a preventative, data-driven healthcare model that uses advanced testing, personal insights, AI-supported tools, and human care to help people understand their risk earlier and take meaningful action before disease progresses. In this episode, we talk about what true preventative medicine actually means, why the current medical model is often too reactive, how AI can help people cut through the noise, and why basics, movement, food, sleep, relationships, purpose, and accountability still matter more than any shiny new intervention. We also explore the future of medicine, the role of technology like facial scanning and personalized AI, and why healthcare still needs deeply caring humans at the center. This is such an important conversation for any of us who have ever felt lost in the medical system, overwhelmed by health information, or curious about how we can build a future where people are supported to stay well, not just treated once they are already unwell. Let's dive in.
All right. Welcome, Dr. Clint. It is a pleasure to have you on the Revital Health Podcast. And we have some incredible things to talk about, changing this beautiful landscape and frustrating landscape of the medical health, longevity, preventative medicine space. So I'm really excited to dive into all of this with you, with your amazing experience in this space.
Thank you, Jodi. It's an honor to chat to you. I think there's many things in common, and we'll see what things we may differ on as well. So it should be fun.
Absolutely, absolutely. So firstly, Clint, I ask all of my guests to give us their story, what led you to this particular point. And I know you have very rich personal reasons for getting into this particular space. And you've built incredible companies around this as well. So without me giving away anything, I'd love for you to give us your background and, your mission, your passion, and your reasons to be here today.
Thank you, Jodi. Healthcare is very personal. I got interested in healthcare young because my father was sick. He was always sick. He ended up dying at 55 and had many challenges. And it was hard to tell, was he born with these things? Was the medical system failing him? What really were the causes? My grandparents died in their 60s, And I was very interested. At 20 years old, I was reading a book called Regaining the Power of Youth by Dr. Kenneth Cooper. And I remember my rugby friends laughing at me saying, dude, you're 20. Are you worried about losing your youth? And I was really looking to see, can you change your stars? Do I have the same fate, or can I do something different? Because I've met some old people, and like, how come they get old and my family don't get old? So it started, you know, a lot of thinking around there. I also loved sport. I wanted to just really be around sports. I learned a lot about performance and those areas. And I thought, if I'm not going to be a professional rugby player and destroy my body, at least let me be close to sport. Well, I moved across to the US one season to play rugby in this picturesque town called Aspen. You've seen it on the movie Dumb and Dumber, was where was my whole preconceived image of Aspen. So moved there, they were a great rugby team, but I met some people who were really struggling with back pain, like really struggling. And they were so rich, they were so successful, they were such nice people, but man, they were struggling. And what was crazy, I felt very, as a doctor of chiropractic, I'd learned physical therapy, I'd learned acupuncture, I'd learned nutrition. I was very intimidated because they told me, I go see the number one guy in New York and I go see the number one guy in LA, but their backs were terrible. And I said, well, let me try. And what was amazing, which has become a theme of my healthcare, is that the solutions were so simple. The one guy's hamstring was very different to the other hamstring. His hips didn't rotate. The other guy had no actual ability to fire the muscles in his back. So he didn't know how to activate and switch on those muscles. He was very vulnerable. And as a result, these guys got better in weeks after 30 years of back pain. And, you know, so all these doctors who did MRIs and injections and wanted to do surgery, little value when it came to it. So we opened up a beautiful clinic at the St. Regis Hotel in Aspen, Colorado, and we opened our doors for people to come from around the world. People came from as far as New Zealand to get out of back pain or avoid back surgery. And you know, you have to have a lot of hope when you're in terrible pain and you're going to fly for 30 hours to come see us. Yeah. You know, we needed to really do some great things with it. And we built a wonderful program. And it wasn't that we had something special. I went and I borrowed the best ideas from every reading, book, clinical publication. And we combined a host of therapies. So we looked at your strengthening, your alignment, your flexibility. We looked at your stress, your anxiety, and how that related to back pain and the fear that often caused and how to break those cycles. And so we started Aspen Back and Body, and it was really an incredible place of healing and trust. People could come. And as we got their backs better, they'd come back over weeks or months and they'd say, hey, you won't believe it, but my blood works better. Hey, you won't believe it, but I'm skiing again. I'm feeling so much better. My friends can tell I'm sitting straighter. So it just became a wonderful adventure of how much can we help people. And we realized the cure for back pain is pretty similar to the cure for your heart, you know, for high cholesterol. It's pretty similar to, you know, treatments for ADD. Like if you get people healthy, you get them moving, you get them to understand their body, their mindset, so many things get better. So it was just really a wonderful journey. And soon I'm the advisor to the Saudi royal family. And soon I'm being sent an aeroplane to different places to come and take care of people. And European royalty. I'm like, this is crazy. I barely know anything. The reality is I just hadn't bought in to a lot of the medical things where people believe that access to good healthcare means access to drugs and surgery. And I'm like, that's not healthcare. Healthcare is like a strong immune system, a healthy frame, a strong mind. It's health. So as the adventure unfolded, we loved what we were doing, but my little girl had a stroke of hepatitis B vaccine. And we were devastated. She couldn't move the right side of her body, which means she couldn't crawl. If you can't crawl, you can't walk. If you can't, you know, use your bicycle, the tricycle, we the church, and they'd say, well, she can't help herself. She has to be babies. And we're like, but she's a year old. And they're like, yeah, she needs to be with the 6 weeks old because she's helpless. So it's so difficult at that stage. And we realized just how broken the medical system was again. It was completely broken for spine care. It was a joke. Like people that were told they needed surgery every day, many of them after like 3 days were 80% better with, you know, simple treatments. So we started a company that would help match people with top specialists. We couldn't find a pediatric neurologist who would talk to us. We'd either have to travel to Boston, we waited 4 months to see one of them in Houston. And when they saw us, they said, oh, we don't work with stroke. Gosh. And they gave us a doctor with a 3 month waiting list, 7 months to have one with a specialist. And so we started a company called SecondMD that matched people with the top doctor in the country. Harder than you can ever imagine to get these top doctors to give us their nights and weekends. And then even harder than that was to get the medical records. These specialists were only as good as the data given them. If they didn't have the data, it was very hard. So we had to figure out how to get the attention of the top specialists, how to really get people's medical records together. And then the magic happened. We helped tens of thousands of people. We ended up with 300 of the Fortune 500 companies signing us to be able to take care of their employees. And just a game changer from impact perspective. We didn't know if it would save companies money, but we're like, hey, if people are making better medical decisions, it turned out to save a lot of money for these companies because people stopped having unnecessary surgeries. They never got on the wrong chemotherapy. They understood that, you know, the real way to treat this disease was very different. In fact, 86% of treatment plans were changed by these specialists, you know, meaning most people's plans were wrong. So that was very, very rewarding. And one day somebody came along and offered us more money than we could have ever dreamed of for our baby, who was now really starting to fly. And I had a bigger dream. I wanted to stop people getting sick in the first place. At SecondMD, we were making the best of a very difficult circumstance. The person's diabetes had wrecked their eyes. It had wrecked their balance. The chemotherapy they were on had done all sorts of things to their health. And we're like, wow, what if we could avoid all these circumstances in the first place? Imagine the person never had the first back surgery and we could have caught them before that. So I like to say I started SecondMD to help my daughter recover from a stroke. I started Medici that she wouldn't have to have a stroke in the first place. And it is amazing the amount of diseases that are preventable. Cancer is so preventable. It's crazy. Yet the best hospitals in the country, in the US, don't know anything about how to prevent it. They just say, oh, come back and we'll try to detect it early. I'm like, hey, I've got something better than detecting it early. How about not getting it in the first place? They don't know. They don't know that these exercise protocols, these green teas, these chemicals, I mean, any of those things, you know, avoid these chemicals, add these nutrients, and all of a sudden your cancer risk is 90% less with a few small changes. Like, come on, that this should be on the front door of the hospital. Like, let's have you never come back by doing these things. So I won't take any more of your time, but that's just the wonderful journey we have been on. All the way to Medici now.
Yeah. And, you know, I cannot wait to dive into Medici with you and you know, how and what you're doing there. But, you know, everything is just a yes, yes, yes for me. You know, I see exactly the same picture here mirrored in clinic with so many clients of mine coming in with disheartening stories, results, treatment from the medical system. And I know there is, it's not down to the individual, the doctors, the specialists, they wish the best, you know, but it's that limitation in the system, unfortunately. And so, yeah, it's this, as you said, there's not this connection with the specialist, with the right people, with the right team. And then there's a mismatch in information. There's the wrong drugs being prescribed or multiples and causing harm because you're getting, you know, a mismatch of medications that are giving symptoms that they shouldn't have. And with the chronic conditions that are coming up now, we're seeing so many more of these post-COVID and, you know, this pentad of this psychoneuroimmunology where we're having these MCASs and all of these disease states that are really driven from that untold, you know, cell danger of like cytokine response. And we just don't have the answers now. And so, and I think it's a really tricky one when you're in a system and you don't know what to do, and there's everyone feels so lost and hopeless, and you know there is no answer. The traditional system, like you say, of testing, of scanning, it's to be disease management. It's not prevention. We're trying to get before that curve, and we have hospitals overrun. You know, it's going to be better off for everyone. And so I'm like you, Clint, I want to shout it to the rooftops because I see it like you do firsthand. And, you know, and there are so many amazing ways that we can get to these things beforehand, but people don't know where to find that. And that's sort of the mission, I guess, in what you're doing and what we're doing. And it's really trying to get people this information in front of people to know, well, this is what preventative medicine is, and to give people time. You know, it's just having that understanding. I had a client the other day come in and she said, I came in a month ago and saw you, Jodie, and I walked out and you didn't give me anything, but I already feel better and I'm coming back now. And just because you listened to me and gave me, you know, that 45 minutes and we talked about everything, and you know, this placebo effect of care with someone, just giving them the time, which we don't do in the medical system. Like the simple things that we talk about, yeah, we need scans, yeah, we need medicines or compounds and other things, but we actually just don't even do that very basic thing for humans is give them the care. I'm very passionate, as you can tell, about all of this.
Love it. Yes, yeah, teaching people how to be healthy. You know, not what to do when they're sick, like teaching them how to actually be healthy. It's almost too simple. I remember at our back clinic, similar to what you just said, we would not give, we'd just give somebody an exercise to fix their back. And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, don't I need an injection? And what drugs are you going to give me? Like, I paid to learn an exercise? And you're like, yeah, this is going to fix you. And, you know, their expectation was very different. Oh, well, the other guy, like, injects me. Like, well, you don't even need that. It's a very different world.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I guess it's this timing and you know, model of care, you know, when people are getting access and then the model which they're given or the support which they're given. And, you know, the case in terms of preventative medicine, it's a really tricky thing because we're looking at early detectable shifts in people's bodies. We're looking at, you know, the different metabolic, inflammatory, neurological, behavioural, and we're not, you know, in the medical systems. And those who are, you know, general practitioners and primary care practitioners, they're not taught that really from that point of view. It's not, you know, looking at these parameters beforehand. It is just that disease state. So, you know, and I know you have Dr. Gabby, which I really would love to talk to you about in terms of your AI that also you have a part of your clinic and your model. But, you know, how would you define and see the model of preventative care? If it was this beautiful ideal world, you know, the dream of what the world would look like if we actually went towards this, like, what does that look like to you?
Yes, you know, I define longevity as you not being connected to your age. I'm 51. With 20 and 30 year olds, set a Guinness World Record recently planning my next.
Yes, I saw that. That's incredible.
It's such fun, you know, realizing that, you know, you don't have to be defined by, you know, what your biological age is, that your body is capable of wonder. The human body is such a remarkable gift, and we haven't really been taught how to treat it, how to take care of it, how to nourish it, and those pieces. So we really set out to say, okay, if we're going to really help people live healthier, longer, fuller lives, have more energy, what do we have to do? You know, what do we have to know about their body? What do we have to teach them, educate them, etc.? Because today in America, if a doctor sits down and educates you, like they might get paid $80. They give you an injection, they can make $1,200. A surgery, $5,000. So, you know, the incentives, and so they haven't really learned the tools that are needed to really optimize health. So we have two models. The first is like high end. If you can afford it, like we'll spare no expense to be able to test you for 400 plus biomarkers, really analyze those, work with AI to help you understand, pull the most comprehensive DNA test so that we can be so personalized for you. I have got most, if not all, of the diabetes DNA markers. Like my genes for diabetes are really high. In fact, the geneticist said, Clint, the week you stop working out, you'll be a diabetic. It's like, not, you know, a few years after, like, and I, you know, I watch myself with a glucose monitor, and it's really interesting to see, wow, I just run. I have to be so careful. So knowing that you have these markers, well, what do you do about it? Our DNA test is connected to 34 million research papers. So it says, Clint, you have these genes, but if you will take curcumin, inexpensive spice, that will lower your risk by 30%. If you will eat lunch at the same time every day, it'll lower your risk of diabetes by another 30%, 60% by doing two simple things. Whereas the doctors say, well, we've got to put you on metformin, we've got to put you on all these other things. I've completely changed my risk profile, now added berberine and some other things that really help monitor blood sugar. It's easy. We realize that, you know, the model of wrapping our arms around somebody, people traveling to Austin, Texas, where Medici is based, just wasn't practical for everybody. So we took all the best tools that we'd thought about over the years, and we found a technology that can scan your face, tell you your blood pressure, your risk of a stroke, risk of a heart attack, your stress level, all from monitoring the blood flow underneath your skin, just by a camera looking at you for 30 seconds using infrared. And so it was just a breakthrough technology. And then we found these large language models and said, hey, we could train one of these and overlay it with preventative data. And that became Dr. Gabby. And we like to say Dr. Gabby is the most preventive doctor, the smartest doctor. She reads 8,000 articles a week and remembers them. And she has no medical information then. So when I ask her, hey, should I eat this? I take a photo of a menu and say, what do I eat here? And she says, knowing your risk, your cholesterol's running high here, knowing that your mercury is a little high from too much fish, we're not going to go with the fish today, we're going to stay with the chicken, and let's get you a nice green salad. So, you know, there's your option on the menu. It makes life easy. We can scan 500,000 items in the grocery store, and she'll personalize the our health. And so inexpensive. It's $9.99. And somebody has a doctor, and she even now is the first AI doctor to prescribe a medication. It's not easy to get one out of her because she wants to help you prevent it. But if you need it, she can prescribe a medication for you. So we're really pushing with a focus on prevention, a focus on personalization, and whatever we have to do to try and get, we really feel the burden for the U.S., first and foremost, is how can we make it easier for people to be healthy? And the beautiful part, I'll say it again ad nauseum, is it's often simpler than people realize.
Yeah.
I was having lunch today with somebody, and he's like, terrible health. And he's like, I'm thinking of going into parasite testing because I saw something and it's all about the parasites and I've got to get rid of the parasites. And I'm like, when's the last time you exercised? Oh, it's been a long time. But what do you think if I fast for these hours, you know, and I'm like, yeah, but you, what's your meal going to be? You know, no exercise, no nutrition, and they're worried about like optimizing these little things. So I'm like, I bet you 80% of your problems would go away if you went to the gym 5 days a week. 80% of the things will just disappear. And then let's look at the 20% that remains after.
Absolutely. And yeah, so like you say, I think people just want to think that there's a shiny object or a very complex way of dealing with this. And sometimes I think that's like the magic pill or the magic fix, but it still takes effort anyway, no matter what. And really the simplest things, like you say, are the ones that we're not normally doing to start with. And so we need to start to, you know, at the base, you know, the foundations first, always. And so,
You know, the God-given made, eat the food out the ground, eat whole foods, eat close to the earth, move. These are things that are very hard for industry to make money on. So they never really are emphasized. If I tell you to like go exercise and give you a nice program, there's no way to really monetize that. So people haven't really learnt, you know, the value of, you know, just some of the simple things because there's been no financial incentive. But if I sell you a super complex nutraceutical or pharmaceutical, like, you know, there's margins in it, I'm going to push and educate you on those. So everybody on Instagram's pushing some little, you know, pill or program for some cash.
Yes, exactly. It's hard to discern what is true value versus a business proposition. Which is, it's a tricky thing with AI now as well. But what I love about Dr. Gabby is that it is far reaching to any economical state. And this is, I think, the issue is that, you know, I run a concierge practice as well. You know, part of my practice is that. And it's great to be able to have, you know, clients who are able to afford consistent care, and you know they're going to get there because they've committed to that. And they've got the, you know, month in, month out and consistency of touch points and, you know, motivation and things like that. But majority of the population doesn't have that. So the option to have someone like an AI doctor that has been, you know, boundaried very well and very well read, as you said, and has, you know, the support behind it with the doctors and the checks and the personalized sort of medicine support, they have really no excuse but to have that information right in front of them and to have that option to look towards something when they can't get to a doctor or if they don't know who to go to. So it's an incredible thing. So I can imagine it's been not an easy feat at all, because I know anything in relation to this is a constant work in progress, and not for the faint-hearted.
Indeed. The establishment in America, it's a $5 trillion industry. They're not willing to give up their margins and profits very easily. So anything that can threaten it or make people healthier is, you know, you're told be skeptical. And I'm like, hey, how much you be skeptical of spending $5 trillion and everybody's unhealthier and sicker every year? Like, I think that deserves the skepticism.
Absolutely. So Clint, now I want to really dive into Medici and just so getting a bit more of an idea. You mentioned the facial recognition, which is absolutely fascinating, and to be able to be reached by anyone worldwide, I imagine, you know, just through online access. But can you talk us through a little bit more, you know, what you're looking at, you know, how you're seen in terms of results and diagnoses and treatment before it actually gets to a point of, you know, a disease state in your clients, you know, so talk us through, and then obviously what parameters that you're using, what measurements you're using.
Yes, on Medici, we went to the best clinics in the US that were doing annual assessments, because there was an amazing doctor, Dr. Player, David Player, who really had a big impact on my thinking. And he said, if you will deeply assess people once a year, you will get very few surprises in the year. And boy, was he accurate. We looked through 30 years of their data, and in almost 30 years, there were no surprises. Nobody had a heart attack in the middle of the year. Nobody had some stage 3 cancer. Everything was detected early in the year. A plan came out to be able to manage it. And I thought, what a wonderfully efficient way. But what are the best things that you can test? Because there are so many things that you can test. And even though it is, you know, aimed at more of an affluent population, we would prefer to be, you know, affordable for as many people as possible. So we went around to the best clinics and said, okay, do you need to do the whole body MRI? Do you need to do the liquid biopsy cancer test? Do you need to, you know, look it through all these things? And so we went through really selecting, and we change every 6 months. We'll kick out a few tests and add a few other ones in as we get more data on, you know, what are things that are easier to be able to assess. We're always looking at what are the markers that tell people they're getting better. You know, if you're going to go on this vegan diet, if you're going to go on all meat, if you're going to go on one of these things, like, let's see how your body responds to that. Not just, I think I feel better. Like, is your body really thriving? So we've got a tremendous amount, over 400 markers we look at, but we also look at things that people forget. Your posture. How your posture affects how you age, affects how you look, affects how you think. Your physiology affects your psychology. So we're looking at those things. We're looking at grip strength. We're looking at balance. We're looking at leg strength, core strength. We have a incredible AI system that takes a video around your body of your skin and picks up every single lesion, can tell you what you should worry about. I tried a peptide, melanotan 2, and it actually, the AI took photos, and I enjoyed getting a nice tan. It said, you've got 30 new freckles. I was like, oh, wow. My gosh. Showed me all those freckles. I was like, man. And that was, happens. You know, the side effect. Our AI told me, hey, this thing can help, but, you know, you'll get freckles. And as sure as can be, but I had a way to look at that. On the Dr. Gabby side, we're always looking, okay, what technology can we put in for people that we'll never talk to? Like, we won't have the chance to be their doctor. We won't have the chance to manage them. So what are all the tools we can give them when they're at home? Scan their face. When they're at the store, they can scan items. When they're in the restaurant, they can take a photo of the menu. When they're unsure about something they see on Instagram, they can say, Dr. Gabby, I just heard about this thing. Is that legit? And Dr. Gabby, with sources, will show you, here's why that is not true. Well, I was told I should have olive oil right before bed. And Dr. Gabby's like, well, actually, it doesn't really matter when you have it. For you, it's actually beneficial. But in the bed, at bed, before bed, in the morning, no difference. And here's the studies that show it. So it's just taken a lot of the noise for people that are being bombarded. I love Instagram, but gosh, being in the healthcare business, I'm getting 47 people telling me about what supplement, what peptide, what sleep protocol, what tracking device. It's overwhelming, the amount of things. Yeah. So having a little resource that we go. So we've got something for the masses, Dr. Gabby, that we hope will help a billion people. It's in the US store now, but we're going to add it to Australia and several more countries soon. And then we have Medici for the people who say, hey, you know, my health is so important to me, I can afford to do whatever you tell me. And it's really fun when you can say, hey, I want you to try these supplements. I want you to try this regime. I'm going to send you to this type of provider. We're going to really optimize you. And let's see if we can add 15, 20 years to your life. And yesterday, my hero, Gary Player, the golfer, called and he said, hey, I've heard incredible things about you and your clinic, and I'm coming to your clinic. I'm like, Gary, you're 90 years old. I was just watching you. You're incredible. I'm not sure there's a whole lot I can do. He said, I bet you've got some things to teach me. And so I love that type of mindset of 90-year-olds saying, hey, I want to get better.
Optimize, absolutely.
Want to optimize. And the thing I hadn't mentioned yet, at the underpinning of all of this, our story, is love. Like, I went into the back thing because I loved these two men who had terrible backs. And I was like, these are such wonderful gentlemen. They deserve to not have their energy and work careers and all these things cut short. They're such a force for humanity. I want to support them. My daughter. Now, you know, Medici has become something for my friends and family and the people I love. So, hey, don't worry. We got you covered. So I think health care, anybody who meets you can see your care for people is paramount. So having that love, anybody who walks into our clinic says, wow, the people that I met in your clinic today, my goodness, these are lovely people. I said, well, nobody in healthcare You should be in healthcare without a deep desire to love on people, to go the extra mile. And when you love the person, you're going to be thinking at night, what do I do for this person? You're going to be searching AI. You're going to be reading publications. You're going to be, you know, calling around because you've got a bigger reason than, hey, I just want to, like, you know, get a few more patients in the door.
Absolutely. It's that deep passion. And that's how I also have created my clinic, is the people in it is the biggest part of being that welcome. And they're you know, speaking for the point of what you're standing for and what you want to push out into the world. And you know, if someone feels comfortable and supported and uplifted by walking into a place or connecting with someone, then job's half done. That's what I think.
That's it. That is 100%.
Yeah. So, Clint, I know we talked about sort of like the yearly touch points where, you know, it's the yearly sort of checkup is what we've always believed in. And what do you see as being part of your protocol that you recommend people to do? You know, so that at the bare minimum, obviously, you know, come in and get the initial data points. But what then after? What do you see for people?
Well, then it gets very personal after that. When you've got good data, you can start to really focus on personalization. So what is really ailing this person? Hey, this person's in a behavioral health space. They're struggling around this depression. They just can't seem to shake it. What are we going to do that's really going to do that? Okay, so let's talk about sunlight. Let's talk about... Our psychiatrist is amazing in that she prescribes acts of service. People are like, well, what drug is that? Mm. No, this isn't a drug. I want you to go and volunteer twice a week. Person's like, how's that going to help me? She's just, you do it and watch what's going to happen. Time in nature. If a person's struggling around depression, you know, acts of service, time in nature, faith, communities of faith, joining a church are such important things. You already know that diet, you know, avoiding processed foods, exercising, these are like amazing things. So now we're going to get around that person who's got, you know, a depressive challenge very differently to the person who's like, man, I just got like my back is killing me, or like, you know, my joints just feel inflamed, or hey, I just got low energy. I just remember the days when I, you know, could do so much. And so the programs will get very personalized based on what the person's looking to do. We also have a special block to say, hey, what's your dream? Like, what are you trying to accomplish? Sure, I can help you have a little less pain, and sure, I can help you, you know, manage your markers better, but give me a dream that you're looking for. What I'd love to do, I'd love to go hike some big mountain with the grandkids. I'd love to ski again. I would love to maybe run a half marathon. That is far more helpful for us to know, where do you want to get to? And really be able to build programs and things around where's the person trying to get to in their life is some of the pieces that really excite us and really connect with things that are deeper than just, I'm just going to manage your numbers. I'm just going to make sure your cholesterol doesn't get above a certain amount. That's crazy. I want to know about what moves you. I want to make sure that your inflammation is minimal. And I also want to make suggestions that are going to be realistic for you. You know, swimming is an incredible exercise. I used to prescribe swimming for everybody until I realized nobody was doing it. You know, so what's the point? You know, I'm like giving it, this is the best exercise. I want you to do this. And they're like, And I'm like, how's the swimming going? Yeah. Nope, never done it once. <You know? laughs> So it has to be, you know, with an understanding of who the person is, you know, and what they're going to do. I say that doctors in America, if they really wanted to help people, would say, hey, when you arrive, bring your walking shoes. And they get up from around their desk and they take their patients and they go walk around the block and they show them by example, like, this is what's really important for you. Like, let me show you what really moves the needle. So I may be sounding a little bit vague, but the reality is that personalization takes a lot of different forms in, you know, what a person needs and where they're trying to get to. We treat most of our clients are couples. They're always very different in their needs. What my wife needs nutritionally, what she needs, she can do with an hour less sleep a night. Like, I need that extra hour if I'm going to function. She's like, "You kidding me? You need another hour's sleep." I'm like, "Dying, man." If I don't get a little more sleep. So, we are different. DNA really shows just how different we are. In fact, we recently brought all our members once a year. We bring them all together in Austin and we have a big celebration. We bring in great speakers. We have celebs come and it's a lot of fun. And one of our celebrities' DNA test shows that he can never, he's famous, you know the name, he could never get malaria. Like if you go to Africa, you don't take anything. You can't get malaria. Or DNA, it's impossible. Another celeb sitting a table over, the geneticist said, if you go near a malaria zone, start taking the treatment for malaria, not how to avoid it. Like malaria will kill you so quickly that I want you to start being treated like you have malaria because you will die so quickly. So just thinking how differently we are all made. And so that gets me angry when I see people online saying, you need this and you need that. No, you may need that. There's a good chance. A great example is my DNA showed that I'm 8% of the population that caffeine lowers my blood pressure. My blood pressure's always run 125, 130, not bad, but compared to everything else that I do, like it's just higher, sometimes 135. So I've never really liked the taste of coffee. And so I said, what else could I do? It said matcha. So I started having a matcha or two every day. I called up my prescription and my blood pressure dropped 10 points from having a matcha latte. Like talk about like an amazing thing. Now, if I get online and I say everybody should have a matcha every day for your blood pressure, I would be causing a problem because 40% of people, it doesn't really change their blood pressure at all. And then the last 50%, it increases their blood pressure. So you really have to know the body to be able to make the recommendations. Because I would have gone to everybody like, hey, this is the greatest thing I've ever found. Everybody should be having caffeine twice a day, you know, help your blood pressure. When in fact, that would be wrong for most people.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, and it is has to be individual, and that's what I love about seeing people where and meeting where they're at. You know, motivating them to their goals, like you said. You know, you're aiming for something, so they're more likely to then be compliant and do the things. You know, as long as it's not swimming and they don't like swimming. You know, so they're going to reach for those goals much easier, and that's what the point is like meeting people there and knowing actually, well, this is what's going to drive them. That's going to make the spark in their eyes, and that's my favorite part of my job is finding that spark and then driving them towards that because it's so much easier in that way. And all the other stuff sort of just blends into one. You know, you've got the cell testing and the metabolomics, and you know, then you can actually know exactly for that particular person with the genetics and everything that is you know, the crazy biochemistry, which I geek out on. And you can actually then design these things for people. And it's minimal then, you know, it's not all of everything that they see on social media, like you said, it's specifically designed for them and they're going to get greater results around that. So yeah, it's a very exciting time, I think, and we are moving in the right direction, but I feel we still have quite a long way to go when I see clients day in, day out, still coming with sort of the same frustrations, unfortunately. But you know, for someone like yourself, you're reaching so many more people than we can with just one-on-one environment, which is what's needed. And that's what I'm most excited about, is these big, you know, of AI and systems and clinics and, you know, getting people together as, like you say, as community and sharing this information as well and knowing their success stories.
It's a very exciting time, but you're right, the needs are great. You come to the US a lot. You travel off the, just travel outside of any city. People are so unhappy, so unhappy. Like, you know, the amount, you go to Disney World. The first time I went to Disney World, I mean, my jaw was on the floor. I'd never seen so many unhealthy people. And many of them don't even know it. You know, I, as a trained clinician, I can see, oh my gosh, like, you know, their physical body's collapsing. I can only imagine what's happening to their organs. I can only imagine the 20 or 30 years they will lose, you know, and be sick for how many years and be on 8 medications. So the needs are really there. And while I am so excited about AI to help people get answers, and Dr. Gabby can just give that clarity, the thing we have to realize is that for most people, they already know something is bad. They don't need an AI to tell them that that bag of Doritos is junk. They're still eating it. And to tell, like, they know that soda's junk, and they're like having four of them a day or 12 of them a day. Recently had a lady in one of the corporate clinics who had no problem drinking 12 sodas a day. And we like, do you think any of your health problems are related to that?
Yeah.
No, don't think so. Oh my gosh. AI cannot motivate a person to really make those changes. And that's where we need loving, capable humans to come alongside and say, hey, like, we got to do something here. My wife said, man, you were hard on that guy at lunch today. You really got on his case. I said, he's dying. This guy's going to live 20 years less long. And I can either say, oh, that's fine. Yes. You know, just try walk, 8,000 steps a day. Or like, no, everything is wrong. Like, you have to switch up
life. Yeah. So
we need the loving, humans in there as much as we need the AI to help us with the answers.
Absolutely. They're the motivators and the connectors. And then the information is, like you say, it's just taking the noise out. And it's just really much easier then to know what I should be doing from now once I've got that motivation. And like you say, I don't think we should sugarcoat it anymore, because we are in deep trouble. You know, we are at a point where we have so much access and information and these geniuses and technology and so much to then help us get better and be better, yet we're the sickest we've ever been. And it's just shocking. I keep on thinking of these statistics and I'm just like, how are we in this place still? You know, it's just not moving fast enough. And I think this is the sugarcoating and enabling. You know, we can't enable anymore. We have to be able to say, like, this is wrong. Like, we are not, we need to make action now. And if I'm saying that it's okay for you to be doing this, we need to keep each other accountable. And I think that's, you know, that's caring. That's not harsh. I think it's something that we can do in a loving way, in a supportive way. And it's just the way that we communicate that. But it is much needed. So, Clint, you know, you're a very busy man, you know, these amazing businesses that you've built and working within. I'm sure you've got some amazing ideas that you're aiming towards in the future as well. But, you know, if you were, so from point of view of yourself, you know, how do you, you know, in a few short words, look after yourself the best, you know, as that sort of perspective of what people should be doing? And then if you were to see someone today that you've never met and you wanted them to radically change their health, what would you have them do tomorrow? So from your perspective and then to a stranger's perspective.
Yes. I do a lot to be healthy. I'm motivated partly because of knowing my genetics. And there's a lot of red markers in my genetics, so I'm motivated to live a long life, not because I'm fearful of death, but because I really want to continue to make a difference, enjoy my family, and see what God has for me. So exercise for me is number one. I know a lot of people disagree and say sleep's number one. I really believe exercise is number one. Not that you should try and compromise between the two, you should do both. But I think exercise covers a multitude of sins. I've seen people and, you know, the idea of just steps, walking, yes, if you're looking for to live better. But if you really want to change your life, vigorous exercise has shown to reverse heart disease. Vigorous exercise has shown to, you know, just release endorphins, help your brain, lights up, you know, your brain in so many beautiful ways. So vigorous exercise without damaging your body. So you're not trying to pound it to be able to wreck your joints, but sprinting. Sprinting is unbelievably helpful, and nobody does it after 20. So, I can't get people in the pool, but I've got a little better at saying, hey, If you can go to a field, a soccer field, a rugby field, start to run 50 meters, walk back, run 50 meters, they call back, oh my gosh, that was crazy. And then I'll show you the data that shows it's wildly beneficial compared to jogging, you know, marathons. And if you ever, I discovered that because I went to the track one day and I saw the marathon runners on the one side, I saw the sprinters on the other side. They were all in their 40s. The marathon looked like they were in their 20s. It's like, dudes are ripped. And so anyway, I won't get too sidetracked there, but I think exercise is very important. And, you know, for me, all my good ideas and everything come from, you know, usually after exercise. That's just a very good place for that. Nutrition, very important. As we know from Blue Zones, the Okinawan people, eating from a broad range of foods. Don't get stuck into eating the same thing. God has stuck different nutrients in different colors and different vegetables and different foods. Eating from a broad range of foods is very beneficial for your health. So I think that's a very big thing. It's very good for fighting disease, you know, making sure you can supplement and trial the supplements, but you'll do really well. Your body really absorbs things better from food. So the broader you can eat, the better. Some of the world's healthiest people are eating 200 different foods a week. You know, so that's, you know, your seeds, your nuts, your legumes, all those things that you have. So those, I think, are fundamentals for just the foundation of health. And then we know that relationships are really important. Mm. People with strong social connections fare way better than people who are lonely. So investing in relationships, in families, in communities, in church, and all those things is remarkable to help people. They get better quicker. They, you know, suffer less types of things. So be big. So that's for me. And I could talk about, you know, all the things I do, and I'm trying several different peptides right now. I don't take medications, but I'm really interested in peptides and trying some of those things. Our clinic's doing a lot of work there.
Before you move on to the next point, Clint, is there anything in terms of technology that you're loving today? Because I love all the basics, but also sometimes I get excited. I've got hyperbarics in my clinic. I've got infrared saunas. Like, you know, I've got all the sort of protocol stuff that I do. Is there anything that is a favorite of yours at the moment?
Yes. Oh, I love all that stuff. So, you know, it's interesting. Cryo, I love cold plunge. I mean, I can have the most toughest workout, get in a cold plunge and feel like I could start again. It's unbelievable what it does. And I know there's some controversy around that, but I think that's incredible for inflammation. Hyperbaric, fantastic. We'd love to put a hyperbaric in our clinic. I think it's a no-brainer. My brother just put one at his house for his wife, who's recovering from a bad accident, and it's really remarkable on just the brain impacts and whole body impacts. I'm really trying to understand, and Dr. Gabe is helping me on red light, you know, the right wavelength. It's really... Yep. Trying to know what the right wavelength is very overwhelming for people because you're told a million different things. And as soon as you think you've got the best bed and you're going to a place with a bed, somebody tells you, those aren't the right wavelengths. You need a blue light with, you know, these wavelengths. So I don't have too strong an opinion there, but I would say, you know, I try these things. I do all these different things. I love, you know, investing in the health. IVs, NAD, NAD, IV on Friday, and, you know, you don't know if it's psychological, but you're like, man, I think I could go run a marathon right now. They put in a little glutathione or different things there. So trying a whole host of things. And I always go back to the basics is I make people promise they're doing the basics first before I give them these things that are, you know, lifestyle factors are going to get you 75% your results, and all these others are going to help you with lost 25% of the way. Yes, all of the above we are in for. We're always playing with new tools. I've got a team who love to geek out on these things. I don't wear a sleep tracker because I hate it telling me I didn't recover. And then I got that mental thing like, oh, I only recovered 76%. Oh my gosh. Versus like, hey, you know, I'm fine. I'm going to have a great day. But I know for other people, it really has helped them build the discipline of, you know, sleep hygiene and setting up their things right. I was recently with the guy Brian Johnson, who's trying to live forever, had a fascinating conversation, and he starts his sleep wind down at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Right?
Yeah.
I start my sleep wind down at about 10:45, you know, at night. And anyway, so just, you know, his commitment to sleep is remarkable. My life, you know, I still keep a little more chaos in my life than that. Yeah. And I'm in, you know, I'm in three cities a week usually. So, you know, haven't dialed everything in. The fun part for me is I'm 51. I feel incredible. My blood markers are 30-year-old. I feel amazing and I'm not perfect. So I eat chocolate. I'm eating on the road. For the person who goes, hey, I can't do everything right every day. Like, hey, we understand. Let's just switch out a few things here. Let's, you know, put some new things into your life. What do you think of PEMF? Do you have any PEMF therapy over there? And have you done any work with that?
Yeah, we do. I have a biomat, which is a mild PEMF here, and I use it more for the grounding aspect. And we have the red light that's infiltrated into the mat as well. And I find it to be a very gentle therapy for my Parkinson's clients or those who have had acute injury and pain. And it does, you know, the impact that we have on the nervous system from this particular mat that we've had feedback on is absolutely incredible. Every client that comes off the mat, you know, maybe it's the placebo of sitting still for a period of time as well, but they feel like they're floating on a cloud when they get off, and pain has reduced if that's what they're working on. So, yeah, it is a, it's an incredible therapy, and I've tried the full, you know, strength PEMF, and I also feel very strongly about applications for certain reasons for people as well for that.
What's your three, teach me, what are your three favorite gadgets or technologies at the moment that you are loving that you either have or want to get?
Yeah. Well, I think I've had consistently in my clinic for the last 4 or 5 years is the red light, which I've seen some absolutely incredible benefits. I'm now getting into the medical grade helmets for dementia, Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And so and there's some beautiful studies in Australia that have been done recently on the impact of that. And so I'm loving the isolation of the red light first. And then into an infrared afterwards. And so it's sort of a 10 to 12 minute therapy conjunctively. So, you know, one after the other, actually. And then doing that twice a day. So that was the study, and that was absolutely incredible. So I'm loving that and working with clients because I see a lot of chronic conditions as well. My next favorite, well, equally my favorite is hyperbaric. I have seen the most incredible results and stories and, you know, from multitudes of different clients. So hyperbaric is a huge one for me. And as long as you're optimizing well, you know, I see it from an oxidative stress point of view. I measure metabolites before, and we have the foundations. We have the ingredients to go. You know, like you say, you optimize first and then you go into the hyperbaric and you get so much better results. And infrared's always been a part of my life. So infrared sauna is actually something that I got into 15, 16 years ago, and I've been doing it ever since, and always has a part of a protocol that I will incorporate for clients for various reasons. You know, sometimes yes, sometimes no, and then the cold therapy also I integrate. But it's always very personalized, like you're saying too, and I think we can't have the same protocol even consistently over the years. You have to change things up. So that's one of my biggest passions too, is personalization. Yeah.
Fantastic. My wife would rather die than do cryotherapy. She's like, I can't do it. Not going to do it. Her life depended on it. And I'm like, you have to get in this cold water or into a chamber for 5 minutes. She's like, farewell. Things have to be personalized.
Yeah. Fantastic. I feel it's the hardest thing you'll ever do is hop into a cold bath or the cryo. But when you come out, you're like, I survived and I'm alive and this is incredible.
Yes, indeed.
So Clint, so you know, one action, I guess, or two actions as we sort of finish up, and I don't take too much more of your time, but how would someone how would you advise someone to radically change their life tomorrow?
You know, first would be to find a reason you want to change your life. We have a little questionnaire called readiness to change. And if we sense that the person's readiness to change is low, we're not even going to try, because they're going to feel more defeated. They're going to make an effort. It's not going to change. They're going to go and like, oh my gosh. And they're going to feel like another thing failed. So we like to know that the person is in a place that's ready to change. And we're not always in control of that. They have to find a reason. They need that grandkid to say, you know, why are you so fat? You know, you've got a friend that you can't keep up with, and they want to, you know, they're going on trips, they're doing things. There's something that has to happen. People are motivated by, you know, romance. They're motivated by finance. They're motivated by self-esteem. Finding something that really connects with them for a reason. Otherwise, don't even start. Like, give them a little change. You know, make a tiny, small step. Move them in the right direction. But for somebody to really want to change their life, they have to go and find a reason. They have to realize that they're going to live 20 years longer and maybe have 30 years of health. Not just living longer. We're talking about living free of people helping you, walking up the stairs. You know, my son recently said, Dad, I'm going to run a half marathon. I've never run a half marathon. I said, son, I'll run it with you. He's like, you can't run it. I've been training for months. I said, well, I'm going to try.
Yeah.
And I started with him. I said, I'll try to get halfway with you. I got to halfway and I was like, you know what? I feel fantastic. I'm going to keep going.
Yes.
That's a... What a wonderful, like, motivation. Lance Armstrong, who coached me for my Guinness World Record, he said, I said, what are you training for? He said, I'm training for life. I'm training that if a friend says, hey, let's go swim, a long swim in a lake. He's like, I'm in. If a person says, hey, let's go ride our bikes up mountain bikes up this hill, he's like, I'm in. They say, let's go lift some heavy weights. He says, great. You know, so that type of your reason to be able to do it. So I think people have to find a reason. I always tell people, you've got to find your purpose in life. Like, you know, if it can be connected to something bigger, there's a far more reason that you're going to change. Secondly, who can you bring around you? You have a 50% more chance of reaching your goal if you do it with somebody. Not a 5% better chance, not 10, 50% better if you can do it with somebody. I say, hey, you've got to get your spouse in on this. Or you've got to find a friend who's going to meet you at 5:30 every morning. You've got to have somebody. You've got to have a community. You've got to have something to do it. Otherwise, it's really hard. You're by yourself. You don't have a strong reason. Oh, man. You know, and everything around you is saying, eat me. You know, sit where you are. Nap. Binge watch TV. Like, the world wants you to struggle. You know, you've got to set those things in place. And once you have a real reason, once you've got somebody who's going to be with you in this, then, oh my gosh, it gets really exciting. Do you want to solve exercise first? Do you want to solve diet first? What do you love to do? We're doing a lot of peptides because it's giving people a real boost. It's giving them a lot of assistance where we can say, hey, if you don't work out, it's not going to help you at all. But for every one workout you do, you're probably going to have the effect of 4 workouts. So if you do 10 workouts, you might have the effect of 30 or 40 workouts. Like, and they can feel it. So after 3 weeks, a month, they're like, whoa, I'm actually like, I'm getting a little stronger. I can feel it and the momentum's there. So that's what, that would be my steps. Find a reason, find somebody, and then find something to attack, you know, and go for it.
Yeah, I see it as being addicted to health. You know, my main goal is to get people addicted to wellness or addicted to feeling good and to continue their health span versus their lifespan. And this is like addicted being well, healthy. Good. Yes,
I love that. I love that. I haven't heard that. And that is true. You know, so addicted to life and addicted to feeling good. It's a wonderful feeling. You know, when I see it. 50 steps, we're traveling somewhere and I'm like, let's race up the steps. And you're racing up the steps, you run up there and you can do that. And you're like, that's amazing, you know, mentally, physically, it helps you spiritually. So wonderful.
That's what our children give us as well. You know, we haven't talked about parenting. I've got two kids as well. Mine are 10 and 13, and they are my greatest teachers and motivators for me to show them what they need to be knowing and supporting their health with, and also for me to stay really fit and healthy so I can beat them in a sprint. And if I can't, I'm like, oh dear, we need to work harder.
Yeah, no, that is, they're a wonderful motivator. My son recently said, let's work out together. He's 6'6" now. He's a beast.
Whoa.
And he picked up these weights and he did this shoulder press. I was like, are you kidding me? I mean, I realized I can't even get close to him. So for the next 6 weeks, I started doing those shoulder things, took some peptides to help me get some momentum. And I just showed him my weights. I picked up those 75-pound dumbbells. Boom, boom, boom. He's like, Dad, whoa, what's going on? So, like, what a motivator. You know, I'm thinking of the next time I see my boy, I'm going to impress him. So that is, you're right. Yeah. I love your reason there.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Clint. It's been an absolute pleasure. Where can people find information about you and what you're doing? So maybe you just list all those links and we'll put them in the show notes as well.
Yes, you can just go to clintphillips.com and everything's there. You'll see all the fun and different things like that. You can go directly to Medici, spelled MEDI.CI. And Dr. Gabby, you can find in the App Store, DRGABI, named after my little Gabby, the one who had the stroke, who is now thriving and still has to do a lot of work with her right hand in therapy, but is just crushing life and excited for her future.
Just inspirational. This is why I do this work. You know, I am every day just blown away, motivated, honored to be hearing and connecting with people like yourself. And, you know, your motivation for being and going through hard times and bringing that to the world, it's just the most inspirational thing that we could ever do. So thank you.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be invited here today, and you've got a great show, and I wish you the best. Come visit us when you're in Austin.
Yes, I love Austin. I will definitely, because I was there a couple of years ago, so I think I missed your opening because you've only been there for about a year. Is that right?
Yes, our clinic, our assessment, we've been running a concierge practice for a while, but our new flagship is only been open 10 months, yes.
Incredible. Well, I will sure drop by and check it out when I am next there. So thank you so much again, Clint, and I hope you have a beautiful rest of your night.
Thank you, Jodie. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Rivado Health Podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Rivado Health, as well as our website, rivadohealth.com.au, for upcoming podcasts, workshops, and speaking events. Find out about specials happening in the clinic and all the show notes and links mentioned in the podcast. Please remember that this information discussed here is general information and is not intended to diagnose or treat individuals. Please speak to your healthcare professional before embarking on any new treatments, lifestyle changes, medicines, or supplementation to assess your suitability. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you again soon.